Praise the name of Jesus. It is good to be in the house of the Lord, and it's indeed a wonderful pleasure for us to be here to worship him without the threat of persecution. Isn't that awesome? To be in God's house, to worship him without the threat of persecution. I love that. Amen. Today the Lord has impressed upon my heart a message entitled, It is Written. It continues from the previous series that Pastor Pablo has preached and has continued to elaborate on it as to the life of the believer, how we continue to walk in power. It is important that the child of God walk in power, because it is the power of God that will make and commence the changes that is necessary in the lives of people around us. And God is using the church to do and make the change. Amen? When people see you, they should see Christ. When people experience you, they should experience Christ. When people are not confident, when people are looking for an answer, we must understand that we have the answer that lives on the inside of us. We are not the answer, but we have the answer. And so we share that answer with folks. Believe it or not, people want to know what you know that makes your life so successful, or that makes your life so tranquil or peaceful. People want to know all the time, why is it that I'm always smiling? When things doesn't seem to be going right, you doesn't seem to care a bit about it. No, I care that things doesn't go right, but I do not allow the circumstances of those situations to be above me, because I know who has the answer to all my predicaments and all my situations, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Oh, precious Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much, Lord, for the wonderful privilege and pleasure that we have to come into this place to worship you, to give you glory and honor. Lord, you said in your word, where two or three are gathered together in your name, you are present. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. I pray, Lord, that you opened our minds and our understanding today, that we may receive from you that which you have to impart to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church say, amen. I still was thinking about that song, and I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And the freedom that that songwriter was writing is the kind of freedom from physical harm and physical dilemmas. And we live in a country where we are able to do things and go places and say things without a massive threat of persecution by the government. Amen? In the Middle East and in China, just to speak the word of God, you got to go underground. Otherwise, you put in prison for the rest of your lives. These are places where you will be killed or persecuted severely if you profess the word of God. But here in the United States, we can go to the highways and byways and profess the word of God. Amen? But there must be some kind of authority, some kind of strength that comes along when the word of God comes out of your mouth. I want to tell you something about weakness. It's when you proclaim the truth and nobody believes you. And they don't believe you not because you're not speaking the truth. They don't believe you because of how you live. They don't believe you because you say one thing and you do another. They don't believe you because you speak about love, but you're always quarreling. You're always complaining. So that has been a problem in the church. People look and they say, hey, I want to go to that church. a bunch of gossipers in there, a bunch of hypocrites in there. One person told me that I don't want to go to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites in there. And I say to them, well, would you like to spend just a few moments with hypocrites or eternally, or eternity with hypocrites? There's a big difference. Amen? And I want to go to a perfect church. People searching perfect churches. But I tell you, the moment you and I enter those churches, they're no longer perfect. So stay out of it if you want the church to remain perfect. Amen? Oh, why did I say all these things? I have no idea. Thank you, Lord. Amen. One of the things that has hindered us as believers is that the doctrine of men and the traditions of men, we live by those. We worry about what the world is going to say around us. We see what the popular thing is. And that's what we want to put ourselves. We don't set ourselves aside. The doctrines of men, this is the way they do it in America. This is the way they did it in China. This is the way they do it in my culture. This is the way we act when we are wrong people. And so we allow those things to become a part of our everyday life, so much so that the people that are watching you can't see no difference. I saw a brother the other day, and he was walking. I knew he was a Christian because we talked several times, and I saw him, and something strange about him. His pants went from his waist to right below above his knees. So I said, what's going on? You lost your belt? He says, no, this is the in thing. I says, okay, that's the in thing, huh? All right. You see, I'm not going to judge him in any way, shape, or form. But the thing is about it is that we need to be different. We don't need to be them. We don't need to follow the traditions of men. There is one thing that we live by, and one thing only. And that's the word of the living God. Amen. Amen? The Bible says, for the traditions of men has caused the word of God to be of no effect. The word of God has its fruit. It's like a seed planted into the ground. And when that seed germinates, it produces fruit after its kind. If it is a mango seed, it produces mango tree, which produces mangoes. You get the picture? Orange, oranges. So whatever the seed is, well, the word of God produces the fruit of the Spirit. It produces the will and mind of God to the people. Here is what Jeremiah 11 or 9:28, what is it? 29:11, sorry, says, the Lord says, my mind towards you is not one of evil, nor to harm you, but to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future. When we live by the word, the mind of God manifests itself in the lives of individuals who hear what we say. But if you do not live by the word, you live according to the traditions of men and the rudiments of this world, and not according to the word, then it makes the word of God of no effect, because people will not believe what you say. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Over the years, the church has developed a series of phrases that sometimes may lead to misunderstanding of the application of biblical principles. One time during our prayers, we talked about a common practice or phrase that has been used while we pray. We spoke about binding Satan, binding a sickness, binding demons. Have you ever heard people pray that way? Now, I'm not saying that that's wrong. As a matter of fact, you have the right to bind if Jesus has given you the authority to bind. Amen. And did he give us the authority to bind? Yes, he did. Oh, hallelujah. We spoke about binding Satan and binding sicknesses and binding demonics. Yes. Jesus, our Lord, gives us authority over the enemy, Satan, and all of his demonic forces and influences. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, Jesus says, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So when you begin to walk in the authority of Jesus, you walk with confidence. Because if the Lord is for us, who can be against us? And when it says nothing shall by any means hurt you, we begin to think about physical hurt. Well, if I talk about Jesus, then people will want to beat me up. But that's not what the Lord is talking about. He says, do not fear him that can destroy the body. Do not be afraid of him. The word fear means to be afraid of. Do not be afraid of him that can destroy only the body. But fear him that can destroy both body and soul. And the second word fear is not the same as the first word fear. The second word fear means to give reverence to respect, to hold in high regard, to take him at his word. Give God the credit when he speaks. Oh, hallelujah. Because he has authority over both body and soul. Oh, hallelujah. When we serve a God like that, who says that he will never leave us nor forsake us, who says that no harm shall come to you, that's what he means. The Apostle Paul believed it so much, as we should. He says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. One of the most radical spiritual movement is found in the Islamic people. They would strap devices on them that would blow themselves up because of their ideology. They believe that if they die a martyr, then they go to heaven and they receive all these special gifts. Some believe 21 virgins, some believe all this and all. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's not true. But just the idea that they are not afraid to die because of their belief. If you believe in Jesus, then you should not be afraid to die because of Christ. And the apostle believed that. He says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Because this world is just like a puff of a wind. We're just passing through, like the blinking of an eye in the face of eternity. Brothers and sisters in Christ, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus also gave authority over demons and diseases. Luke 9:1 says, he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. To bind the devil is another way of saying, devil, I rebuke you. I can rebuke you because I have authority over you. Don't let nobody tell you that he has authority over you. Let nobody tell you that you are weak and he is strong. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's a lie from the pit of hell. And you need to remove yourself from this situation. That's another way of binding. Using your authority to tell the devil, you need to move yourself from this situation. You have no place in my life. You have no place in my situation. For I am walking in the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I am believing God for deliverance. I am believing God for provision. I am believing God for healing. Because God is all these things to me. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. But all this binding means nothing if it is not applied to the right foundation. It means nothing if the basis of your authority is not applied to the right foundation. What I'm saying is, all the authority that you exhibit as a child of a living God must be applied to the foundation of the written word of God. God is the one that has the authority. He has given it to you. Now you have authority, but in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. You are not the big kingpin here. God is. And you are a servant of the Lord, yielded to him. And the authority that he gives you, you apply. Oh, hallelujah. With confidence. Because the word of God, the Bible says, will not return to him void. It will accomplish the purpose for which he has sent it, and it will be successful in the thing that he has said it. When God speaks and he says, this is what I'm going to do for you. This is what I'm going to do with you. This is what I'm going to do on your behalf. You believe him. Oh, hallelujah. Believe him and your authority will be great. Woo, praise the name of Jesus. One of many commands that Satan be gone. Gone. But the application of God's word to the situation must follow. One of the big problems is this. The church is filled on Sunday. It is true. But on Wednesday or Tuesday, when there is a Bible study time, the church is empty. If you don't know what to apply, how will you apply it? No, it is very important, brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe you can't reach to a Bible study on Wednesday. I'm not knocking that. It's best you do, because we can share with one another. But take the time, put a time aside to study the word of God. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. In other words, the Bible says that the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you will bring to remembrance all the things that he has taught you. To remembrance. You can't remember something you don't know. Amen? Who don't know my name in here? Raise your hand. Two sisters don't know my name. Did you remember it yesterday? You can't, because you never knew it. My name is Egbert. Hallelujah. She probably forget already. I'm not good with names either. Praise the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that the word of God is the power of God to salvation for all who will believe, first the Jews and then the Gentile. It is the power of God to salvation. And this word salvation doesn't only necessarily mean to be saved. It also means it is the power of God concerning every area of your life. For your well-being, every area of your life. The word of God has the answer to deliver you from all circumstances, to show a path that you should walk so you may not stump your toes against a rock, to direct you in a direction of prosperity and tranquility and peace. The word of God is that thing that we use to for us to avoid a catastrophe. Or things of the sort. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, set some example when he was tested by the devil during his time of fasting. Do you remember the account? That Jesus was tested by the devil as he fasted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. The Bible tells us about that. It says when Satan came to him and tempted him, he uses the word of God as a foundation of his authority. He also commands Satan to go away. You follow what Jesus says. In Matthew 4:4, he says, "It is written." Oh, hallelujah. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Now, listen to that scripture. Man shall not live by bread alone. He's not saying that man should not live by bread. You will need nourishment for your body. You need that rice and beans and chicken and salad right after this service is concerned for your nourishment at your body. Amen? But, he says, but by every word. The first one, he says, alone. This second part of the scripture says, but by every word that proceed from the mouth of God. There is no but about that. And if nor but about that. You must live by the word of God. God designs it that way. Amen? Jesus told the adversary when he came with his temptation, he says, "It is written." One of the things that many church members can't do is say "it is written" because they don't know what is written. You don't really have to know the scripture verbatim, but you have to have an understanding of it. If you have an understanding of it, don't ever feel that you need to know it verbatim. If some people says, "Well, I can't pray the way you pray because I don't know as many scriptures as you know." No. Do you know what the Lord is saying? Do you know the principle? Do you know what he's trying to reveal to you? The attitude that he wants you to convey? Do you know what conduct he wants you to display? Do you know the rules of engagement according to the word of God? You don't necessarily have to know scripture verbatim. It's good to know verbatim. Amen? One of the reasons that it is imperative that you know the word of God is because the word of God can't return to him void. He must accomplish the purpose for which he has sent it. Be successful in the thing that he has said it. So when you use the word of God in your everyday life, God cannot go against it. God is subject to the dictate and mandate of his own word because God is his word. So when you learn this strategy to let the word of God be your foundation, let it be the direction, let it be your principle, let it be your platform, begin to experience prosperity. Begin to experience all the things that God desires for you. Because his word must manifest itself. If it does not manifest itself, then God is not true. But you have to wait patiently in the word of God. That patient I'm talking about is wait with great expectation. Wait in faith. For a prolonged period of time, whatever length of time it takes for that word to be manifested. You plant a seed today, sometimes it does not grow, sprout out right away. The farmer has to wait a period of time. But he knew and he knows and he's convinced that the seed he plants is going to produce its fruit. That's the mentality God wants us to have. First, he wants to hide the word of God in our heart. Brothers and sisters in Christ, take the time to hide the word of God in your heart. If you want to walk the way you see it, God says you should walk, then take his word and place it in your heart. Set aside some time for the word of God. Meditate on it. Read. And then let the Lord speak to you concerning what he has written. And if you still don't understand, call up someone. Call up Pastor Pablo. Call up Sister Brenda. Call up one another, amen, and says, "I have just read this scripture. What do you say?" Well, what I have to say is what the Spirit of God tells me about the scripture. Then we begin to sharpen each other. We begin to grow in the word. I know the more you know God's word, the more you apply God's word on you in your heart, he brings it to your remembrance. The word of God says, "Thou shalt not steal." Here you're going down Walmart thing, you get around the produce there, and you see grapes. Well, it's okay, you pluck a little grape from there to taste it, okay? But when you circle around 6 or 7 times to taste the grape again, it jumps into a whole new category. Guilty! Thou shalt not steal. By the time I get to the third pick, the scripture comes to my remembrance. Thou shalt not steal. Put it back and you buy the stuff, then you can eat. Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. That's how the word of God operates. It literally operates that way. When you're about to gossip, the word of God comes to the forefront of your mind. And it tells you that this is contrary to God. That if you say you love the Lord, the Bible tells us you will obey his commands. And so I love you, Lord. I am not going to gossip. I am not going to cheat. I am not going to steal. I am not going to falsely accuse my neighbor. I am not going to, you understand? And it's not a whole bunch of I am not. It is a standard that you have set for yourself because you love the Lord. When you begin to live like this, people see. People notice these things. People come to you and says, I want you to tell you something about Sister Jolene. No, I don't want you to tell nobody else because this is between me and you. You know, I don't want you to tell Sister Jolene because she's going to get mad at me. Right away, everything is beginning to put right there on the table that that person is about to gossip. You see? Oh, no, stop. If it is something wrong, let's pray about it. Immediately, that individual know who you are. It won't come the next time. But some of us, because, I don't want to say that, because then I'm going to miss out on all the juicy gossip. Isn't that truth? Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise his precious name. Well, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In Matthew 4:10, he commands Satan by saying, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Get away from me, Satan. I want to have nothing to do with you. Jesus told the disciple one day, Peter, who was boasting of his devotion to the Lord, and he says, well, when everybody has run away, I'm going to stay with you, Lord. And then the Lord proclaimed to them and says, you know something? I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be killed. Not so, Lord. He rebuked the Lord. His love for God is so strong that he decided he knows what's best. And the Lord says to Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you do not have in mind the things of God. You see, the Lord did not call Peter Satan. He addressed the culprit. You don't go around calling people Satan. You don't go around calling people names. But you recognize the culprit. Jesus recognized who the culprit was. There are many voices in this world. None of it is without significance. But I tell you, the voices that you hear, you test them in light of Scripture. And if they're in line with Scripture, then you may want to contemplate what you're going to do with those voices. If you hear a voice and it is not in line with Scripture, then you push it aside. You says, get behind me, Satan, for you do not have in mind the things of God. The problem about it is that how can we test things in light of Scripture if you don't know Scripture? You see the problem? When you want to walk in the Lord, you walk according to his word. If you want to learn the voice of the Spirit, every day you hear Christians saying, well, the Spirit of God told me. The Spirit of God told me. The Spirit of God told me. Over and over, out of their mouth, God is talking to them and them only. Spirit of God told me. Says, how did he know that he was the Spirit of God? Well, I just know it, from the inside here, I felt it from way inside here, that the Spirit of God told me. If you can't tell me how you recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit, I must be very wary of what you say when you say the Spirit of God told me. Because every child of God should know how to recognize the voice of a friend, a neighbor, a family member, if they're going to follow them. See, my daughter recognized my voice. I get on the phone many times, and I change it. Hi, Brittany. Hello, Daddy. What you want? I can't change this voice for nothing. And everybody at my job knows my voice because it's the only one with broken English. When you want to know the Spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God does not testify of itself, of himself. He only speaks what he hears the Father says. In other words, he only speaks the word of God. When you hide the word in your heart, you recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit when he speaks to you and says, no. No, that's not what you should do. No, that's not what you should say. That shouldn't be your attitude. If you want to walk in power, brothers and sisters in Christ, walk and live by the word of God. If you want to walk and live by the word of God, take the word of God and meditate on it. Day and night. God wants you to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That way your root runs deep and wide. He does not want you to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Somebody comes with a doctrine. You listen to the doctrine. And if it does not line up with the word of God, you brush it out. Don't receive it. But how will you know the difference if you don't know what the word of God is? God wants us today to walk in power. But he wants us to follow the example of Jesus. That when the adversary comes with scripture now, he says, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He comes to the Lord and he presents himself as an angel of light. That he wants to help Jesus in a time of need. But Jesus knew that it was not for Jesus' benefit, but for his own benefit. I want to tell you something. The Bible tells us that every situation that we encounter, whether at job, whether at home, whether on the streets, or whether in the store, when we encounter these situations with people coming against you, saying ill-mannered things against you, it is not, your fight is not against them. They are just but tools that the adversary use for you to fall and trip. The Bible says you wrestled not against flesh and blood, but against who? Principalities. Powers in high places, the rulers of this dark world, the adversary and all of his allies, you wrestle against the devil. So when somebody come against you at your job, somebody went to the boss and tell the boss that you were eating on the job or that you were sleeping on the job, it might be true. The first thing comes to me, well, when I meet her, I'm going to tell her a piece of my mind because she needs to learn to mind her own business. When I get real upset, I try to change my voice on business, I say, business. I try to make things look, no, you can't do that. The word of God says that you must recognize the culprit. And he is the devil. Get behind me, Satan, for you do not have in mind the things of God. If he does not have in mind the things of God, who has in mind the things of God? You do. Oh, hallelujah. So our standard of living, our presentation to the world around us, at our jobs and at our home and in our neighborhood, is vitally important that it reflects the word of God. Here is the question for the day. How often in this week have you opened the scriptures to read at least one or two verses? Just one or two. If the answer is, you know something, Pastor, I didn't even open the scripture once, then you know to make a decision today. There needs to be a change. I need to begin to apply myself to God's word if I want to walk in victory, if I want to have the authority. You know, one day a rich ruler came to Jesus as he was doing his thing. He was loving people and he was healing those. And this rich ruler has heard this young executive. He heard about Jesus. He heard the things he'd done. And he came running to Jesus and said to him, he says, Lord, my son is at home dying. Would you come? Of course. He would ask that question. But Jesus, instead of saying yes, looked to him and said, unless you people see signs and wonders, you would not believe. Unless you people see signs and wonders, you would not believe. In other words, when we take God at his word, the power of God's word begins to manifest itself. It manifests itself into signs and wonders, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Things change when you live by the word. Change happen when you live by the word of God. Amen? Unless you people see signs and wonders, you see the world around us, they will not believe unless they could hear, taste, smell, touch. I won't believe it. I have to see that. That's why it's necessary for you to walk in the power of God's word. You see? So that the power of the Holy Spirit can exhibit itself through you. How will you be able to walk in his word? You need to know his word. Amen? And this is eternal life, that you may know the only true God and his son whom he sent. And this is eternal life, that you may know the only true God. To know God is to know his word, to know how he feels, how he acts, what is his principles, what is his rules of conduct, so that we can begin to apply ourselves? What is his promises? The Bible says his promises are yea and amen. If his promises are yea and amen, what are those promises so that I can experience them? When he says by his stripes you are healed, he did not say you are going to be healed. He did not say that you will be healed. It says that you are healed. You were healed. It's past tense. So now you have to have a mindset to believe, if I am sick, I must believe that I am already healed. The understanding is that what God has done in the spiritual realm, because he is spirit, you see, a spirit is a non-corporeal being. He cannot occupy matter nor space. So anyone who worships God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, hallelujah. And so when we believe that we were healed, we must understand that God has accomplished this wonderful gift for us in the spiritual realm, the key to appropriate our healing out of the spiritual realm and bring it into the physical realm so that we can experience it is faith. It's belief. Taking God at his word. That's why Jesus taught us how to pray. He says, when you pray, not if you pray, if you are a child of a living God, it is imperative that you pray. You have communication with God. When you pray, he says, believe that you have received and that which you ask is yours. And you know something? Call those things that be not as though they were. That doesn't seem to make sense. But in God's economy, it makes all the sense in the world. He says, do not look to those things that are physical, for they are temporal. But follow those things that are spiritual, for those are eternal. The real deal cannot be seen. That's why faith is the operative word, that you must have faith. Lean not on your own understanding. Do not lean on your own strength. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. The life of a child of God is strengthened when the child of God makes a decision, even today, that they will indulge themselves in the word of God. Amen? It is written. Give the Lord a hand. As the weeks and months go by, myself and Pastor Pablo will continue to teach along this line that will benefit the believers, benefit us as believers, so that we can make that change and just don't be a churchgoer. Just don't have a religion. It's not a religion. It is your life. It's not even a lifestyle. It is your life. It is who you are. You are a reflection of the word of God. The Bible says a man, a child of God, a believer who hears the word of God and does not do what it says is like a man who looks in the mirror after viewing what he looks like, turn away and forget what he looks like. When God sees you, oh hallelujah, he sees his life, he sees his character, he sees perfection. Oh, that's another story altogether. When we lack the knowledge of God's word to a certain extent or the intricate details, sometimes these things could be confusing. Oh, nobody is perfect in this world. Well, that's another message altogether, right, Pastor? In God's eyes, you are perfect. You are perfect in his eyes. Well, I just sinned yesterday. How can that be perfect? Well, you don't understand. There is a teaching that correctly dispel that mystery so that you could believe that you are perfect in the Lord. The word of God teaches us that. Amen? And we're going to learn that eventually as we go along. Give the Lord a hand. Amen? Next week, the Lord has something special. Come next week. And it will blow your mind. Because the Spirit of God is willing to teach. He's taught me, and he's used me to teach. He's taught Pastor Pablo, he's used Pastor Pablo to teach. And he's taught us so that we can teach each other. Amen? Give the Lord a hand.